Here's what's coming up on today's show.
But the way you get confidence is getting clarity on your specific situation. And the way you get clarity is having a precise plan that outlines, you know, what your income is going to look like in the future.
When it comes to your finances, you don't want to be at a disadvantage. Tim Dyer can help. He's a wealth manager specializing in retirement planning and investment management, and he can be that financial coach that helps you achieve your goals in retirement. This is Retirement Power Play.
Well, glad to have you back on the Retirement Power Play podcast. I'm Ben George. He's Tim Dyer over at Dyer Wealth Management there in San Diego. Find us online, retirementpowerplaypodcast.com. Tim, do you like the Rolling Stones? You ever heard the song Satisfaction? I'm sure you have, right?
You know, I did see the Rolling Stones once a few years ago here in San Diego.
Did you?
Memorable experience.
I'm sure that's one of the bucket list bands, right, for a lot of people. They're one of the great rock bands, and it's amazing they've done it as long as they have.
That's right.
Well, today, Tim, we're talking about getting satisfaction in retirement. Can you? That's the question. And there are some, you know, some key areas and situations in which, you know, having a financial plan helps lead you to satisfaction in retirement. You know, maybe there are a few secrets to it, in which we'll discuss today, but we really want to make sure that you're aware of these five key points and why they help lead you to having a high chance to achieve that retirement satisfaction, which is the goal for everyone. So that'll be the plan today. How's everything else with you, Tim?
Hey, not too bad, not too bad. You know, a side note about that Rolling Stones, they played at a small venue here called the San Diego Sports Arena. It's kind of those one of those 1950s venues. The local semi-pro hockey team plays there as well, going along with our retirement power play. But I remember, I wasn't necessarily a huge Rolling Stones fan, but you know, to see a band of that magnitude come through town, you know, this might have been about 10 years ago. I'm like, we got to go see this.
Yeah.
And old Mick Jagger didn't disappoint. So, you know, I do want to cover really the five things that I've uncovered that are at a kind of 20,000 foot level that are going to really determine or help determine the kind of satisfaction that you have in retirement. The first one is peace of mind. Okay.
Okay.
Now, this sounds a little cliche, and we like to put cliches in the proverbial penalty box here, but there is some truth to it, right? So, you know, the thing about peace of mind is on one hand, it removes us from the burden of having to look at what every little move up and down in the stock market is doing, or what every news headline is on the front page of the paper with war here, or, you know, just all the bad news that gets put out there to sell media. You know, having a plan is, like it says, it's having a plan, and the reason those are designed is so that it removes a great portion of the things that take away from us having peace of mind, right? Mm-hmm. If we're worrying about the stock market up and down, if we're worrying about every little geopolitical event, it's really, you know, no way to go through life worried and afraid. So we need to sort of tackle those things, plan for what we can plan for, and minimize the risk of the things that we can't ultimately remove or plan away from, but build in contingencies, whether it's emergency funds or, you know, life insurance, you know, things like this to give us that peace of mind. I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory after that.
Well, I mean, it's like you're not going to ever be prepared for everything that's coming your way, right? You don't know what the market's going to do. You know, a lot of these uncertainties is, like you said, what makes you emotional, but, you know, you can gain confidence, I guess, and that peace of mind. And that's kind of what leads it there, right? Like knowing kind of where you're headed, what you're expecting, you know, knowing that these things are going to go up and down, like that's all things you discuss with people, right? So just kind of being aware that that's going to happen makes it much more comfortable once you get there that, okay, this was expected. We know this is happening. And this is what we're going to do about it.
Sure. Now, one of the things I've learned in two decades of doing this business is a little bit of expectation setting on the front end goes a long way. Mm-hmm. I use my pilot analogy all the time. You know, if you're flying over the Rocky Mountains, you know you're going to hit some turbulence, right? Just the way it is. But it's never comfortable. But I've found that when the pilot kind of gets on and says, folks, you know, we're coming up on the Rocky Mountains, it's going to be bumpy for the next 15 minutes. We'll try to find some smooth air, and we'll keep on our way to San Diego. No matter the magnitude of the turbulence, you're kind of like, well, at least the guy that we're paying to take us there kind of has got his eye on the prize, and he's doing his thing, right? It's when we have no expectation or no communication about, you know, when scary things are happening. All of a sudden, you know, your drink gets falling on your lap. You don't hear anything. Flight attendants are running around. You're like, is anybody up front flying this thing? It's the same scenario, but just the way it was communicated. In one scenario, you have peace of mind. In the other one, you're digging your knuckles into the armrest. So one of the things we do for our clients is giving them that education up front in not jargon, because jargon goes in the penalty box here on the Retirement Power Play. But we help them understand like what these things are. Now, some people have a little bit of knowledge. Some people have a medium amount of knowledge. And, you know, some people are reading the Wall Street Journal and watching the news the first thing when they get up in the morning. That's fine. It's, you know, we cater that to help people understand what the different components of a good financial plan are, why they're important, what to expect when things go right, what to expect when, you know, things might go wrong. And we kind of put, you know, some reasonable expectations around that to help increase our peace of mind. The other thing I'll add to that too is understanding the starting point, right? Now, sometimes people are anxious about their finances because they haven't, you ever have that friend that like never goes to the doctor and it's been like 10 years and, you know, hey, I understand it's not the most exciting thing for people, but if you get that checkup, you know, every year or whatever it might be, every 2 years maybe, there are a lot less surprises that happen. And if something, you know, God forbid is not going well, you can tackle it before it gets out of control. And so understanding where you are in your finances, taking a look, getting that checkup is important, you know, because a lot of things can be fixed ahead of time. Not so much after the fact. So getting that peace of mind, we got to be walking around this globe happy.
Absolutely. All right, so peace of mind is the first one. What is that next situation that you try to, that you've identified as a spot to help people find satisfaction?
Diversity. And what I'm talking about diversity is primarily in income streams. So you're not reliant on one particular source. I'll give an example. A lot of times when we meet with people, they look at their investments as one big nest egg. And, you know, understandably so. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. What I'm alluding to is they look at it as this big pie. And I say, okay, well, let's put the, you know, the big pie over here. Let's think of it more like a bag of golf clubs. And we've got different golf clubs in the bag. We've got the driver, which is used to hit the ball far. Sometimes it's far right, sometimes it's far left, but we know that it's used for a certain objective. On the opposite side of that is the putter, right? The putter is just for, you know, those little tap-ins on the green. If we miss, we're not going to miss by much, right? And everything in between, I think you get the point of the analogy. But when you look at your investments that way, you know, what is this investment designed to do, right? Is this designed to give us income? Is that what we need it to do? And is it doing that? Is it designed to give us growth, right? And is it doing that? If we can't take a growth investment and say, why isn't this paying us more income? Well, because it's not designed to, you know? We don't want to be driving with a putter, if you will. So when we have, you know, clarity around what the different tools are, or clubs, if you will, financial clubs in our bag, we can identify the different income streams that we're using for retirement income. And if we need to, you know, add more to one area, we can do that. But things change. You know, things happen. Every once in a while, I don't know. I know you're a golfer there in North Carolina, but you know, every once in a while, you got to hit that kind of trick shot with.
Yeah, got to work with the ball a little bit. Yeah,
that's right. Maybe you got to hit a, you know, a wedge out of a sand trap or a driver off of, you know, an area that you're probably not supposed to be in. Sometimes you have to do that because, as in life, sometimes income streams get messed up. We saw this in COVID. Companies that had paid dividends for 100 years all of a sudden cut their dividends or, in some cases, suspended them because they didn't know what was happening with the economy. If you're relying on that and that's your sole source of income, maybe you've got a lot of shares of a particular stock and it pays a big dividend and you're living off that. Well, what happens if that changes? We never thought, I mean, we never saw COVID coming ahead of time. And so having multiple income streams and the diversity of those is really the, you know, the second part of how the planning process helps people ultimately achieve what they need to in retirement.
Yeah, and this is a big one for people. Just to, you need to be able to lay out this income plan, understand where that money's coming from and where those sources are going to be. And so number two, this one obviously is a key one. So that's the first two, Tim, peace of mind, diversity. What do we have next?
Third one is confidence.
Okay.
Now, what I want to talk to you about that is, we mentioned this in our live event last night. One of the things when we do an income plan for somebody, it doesn't even matter if you're accumulating, you know, you still maybe you still have 10 years to retirement, or maybe you're right at retirement. But when you're in the accumulation phase, sometimes people don't know when they can retire, right? And this is where the confidence comes in. When we put together a strategic income plan that show you, you know, exactly where the income streams are going to come from, how long they're going to last, you know, all the different things that go into that, all of a sudden people start to get more confidence in their situation. And as I alluded to last night, I was, you know, a lot of times we find that people could retire a lot sooner than they think, right? And that doesn't mean they have to. They can continue to work, but they now know that work is their work, you know, they've made work optional, okay? And it just gives them the confidence, right? And maybe they can negotiate new terms. Maybe they work different hours. Maybe they work remote a little bit more. That's getting off track a little bit. The main point of number three is confidence. But the way you get confidence is getting clarity on your specific situation. And the way you get clarity is having a precise plan that outlines, you know, what your income is going to look like in the future. So, hey, we've all known if people walk around with more confidence than others,
yeah,
it's because they've got a lot of those I's dotted and T's crossed.
Yeah, and then that kind of ties in the peace of mind, right? You gain that confidence and it gives you that peace of mind. They kind of work together mm-hmm. like that. So I mm-hmm. like that one. Confidence, a big one. What's number four on our list?
Security. And we're not talking about investment security. We're talking about security in their health plan. Now, I would argue that between healthcare and taxes, those are your two biggest expenses in retirement. Okay, kind of depending on your net worth might drive the two, but you know, a single person's 30-year healthcare bill could be over $250,000 a year. Could be over $250,000 just healthcare costs.
Right.
Yes, there are some scenarios where it could be $250,000 a year. But here's the thing: no retirement plan is complete without having some form of healthcare plan, okay? And that means a lot of different things to a lot of people. Some people, their healthcare plan may be to self-insure. Like, hey, we've got maybe a few million dollars. We can put this money over here. If something happens, you know, catastrophic, well, you know, we'll use it from these funds over here. That's okay, but it's a conscious decision that they've made. For other people, you know, there are other things that they could look at. Whether it's, you know, long-term care is kind of one that comes to mind. Things that provide, they transfer that risk from you, you know, to an insurance company where if there's a catastrophic event, you've got coverage. Now, we all know Medicare starts at 65, okay? But some people, you know, hey, look, we see plenty of people here in Southern California retire before that. So you're used to getting insurance and healthcare coverage through your employer. And if you hang them up and retire at 55, you got 10 years where you got to figure out how to get that coverage before Medicare starts in. So you got to have a plan for that. And those are some of the things, again, that ahead of time, planning for these things or solving these things ahead of time usually is more beneficial. Let me explain what I mean.
Okay.
When you leave a company, a lot of times you have the option of continuing the healthcare that the company provided you. It's something that, you know, it's on a company by company basis, but, and it might not be the cheapest option, but there is an option where you can continue that service. There's something called COBRA, which allows you to get insurance, and that's usually 18 months. And so that's got a finite term. So again, these are just a couple of things that you got to put together. But I think the key takeaway here is, in order to have security, you've got to have security in how you're going to take care of your health financially now and in retirement. So that's four, which brings us to number five.
Okay.
Number five, independence.
Okay.
So, independence from a couple of things. Independent from the government. That's sort of a backhanded way of saying taxes, right? The IRS, they're your silent partner. If you have for example, if you have $1 million in an IRA or 401k, you do not have $1 million in there. You might in market value, but the IRS has got a lien of, 25, 30, 40, 50% on that, depending on where you live and what tax bracket you're in. Look, that's not the most earth-shattering concept, but I think a lot of people never stop to think about it. They add up their investments and they say, my net worth is this. I feel confident in generating this amount of income. I say, oh, wait a minute. We got to figure out what your partner's got to get his share. Okay, so there are ways to tackle that, and a good, sound financial plan. And in our financial planning process, we look at, how can we start to remove that dependence on the government, that silent partner. The other one, when we talk about independence, is family assistance. We get a lot of people that say, look, I don't care if I have to, eat cat food under a bridge. I do not want to be a burden on my family. And it almost verbatim, that's what they say. I never want to be a burden on my family. And so having a plan that says, if something happens to me, how am I taken care of, financially, from a health perspective, et cetera, that removes, the burden of children or spouses or whoever it might be of putting a financial burden on them. So, independence from that is very important. So there's a lot to unpack there, but those are really the five things that when they're covered from a, conceptually, when we address these, it leads us to the strategies and tactics that we can not imply, but employ, if you will, to make sure that all of those areas are covered.
The ultimate goal here is just to
implement.
Make sure.
Implement. Right. That was the word I was looking for. What does that even mean? Implement, right.
Well, I mean, the ultimate goal, though, right, is to make sure somebody can actually enjoy the retirement, right? To not have to worry about, will the money last? How am I going to cover certain costs? And even, to take the decision-making maybe off their plate, where they don't have to worry about, hey, can I make this expensive purchase, or do I need to save this money and use it elsewhere, to be able to have the freedom to kind of operate and to enjoy their retirement how they please. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, right?
It is. Yep. I would agree.
So satisfaction, that's the key. That's what we're looking for. Again, five things that Tim's identified: peace of mind, regardless of what's happening, diversity and income streams, confidence in your ability to spend money without having to worry about running out, the security in your health care, your health, and independence from government, family assistance, just to be able to operate on your own and have that that satisfaction there. So some really good points.
Ben, maybe I'll pull it on my Mick Jagger hat, and instead of saying, I can't get no satisfaction, maybe I'll say, hey, maybe I can help you get satisfaction.
There you go.
With our planning process. So there you go.
Way to tie it back.
Live tour, world tour.
I love it, Tim, but it's important, and I'm glad we kind of cover this, because, we want to have satisfaction, and there are certain things that you can identify to help you reach that, and I think we've done that today. So again, if you want to visit our podcast online, you can do so, retirementpowerplaypodcast.com. You can also get in touch with Tim directly. It's 858-459-3937. Give him a call. If you want to talk about anything we discussed today, I mean, if you have questions about anything we touched on, or you just want to begin that financial plan and make sure you can reach satisfaction and take the steps towards that, that's the ultimate goal. So should be good stuff. All right, Tim, we'll close it out unless you have anything else to add before we do.
We're good. We'll see you on the next one.
Sounds good. Thank you for listening to the Retirement Power Play. Please subscribe wherever you listen, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.
The commentary on this podcast reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analyses of Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, DBA Dyer Wealth Management employees making such comment and should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by Dyer Wealth Management or performance returns of any Dyer Wealth Management Investments client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. The opinions expressed in this podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referred for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Dyer Wealth Management provides advisory services through Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Dyer Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Dyer Wealth Management unless a client service agreement is in place.